Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they are saving some stuff. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think they're trying to be fully formed by January and maybe hold back a little bit, kind of similar to Kansas City. It's a different way of thinking. You know, it's kind of like the old Greg Popovich Spurs where you spend a couple months kind of playing possum with teams. Maybe it's an excuse. There shouldn't be an excuse if they look bad in Atlanta. But I do think that the Bills are maybe holding back some stuff and that maybe they got to pull it out a little sooner than they expected.
Go Long TD's Tyler Dunn on Chopin Bulldog yesterday. I was sort of hinting at that, maybe not consciously, but I guess definitely thinking that when I was mentioning, you know, I don't want them playing their best football in September, right? I don't want them showing everything. I guess it's probably where I was more leaning towards is, yeah, you maybe hold some stuff back in September, October, and then, you know, December, January, we start to pull things, you know, out of the cupboard and really start to be fully formed. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer filling in here for One Bills Live as the Bills are on the bye week. Derek, you made a face. Do we have breaking news?
No, what are we looking at? It's a stat.
Oh, that's not great. That's going to be bad.
Eric Turner, cover one.
Going to be bad news for us.
Has a graph on plays on the ball by the defense.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020 through 2024... their interception numbers are around like 15 to 19.
Right, yeah.
And their pass breakups are around 30 to 45.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming those are good numbers. Yeah.
I'm going to show this to you, and nobody else is going to have the context, but this 2025 dot has barely moved off the X or Y axis.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, now...
get me a safety.
Now... you show that, and it—I mean—it is really like it's very stark. You have a bunch of them in the top right corner, and then 2025 is in the bottom left corner.
And it's six games, but also you are at less than okay. Based on the axis here and how the denominations are going, I'm looking at maybe five pass breakups all year and two interceptions.
And
one of which was by a linebacker.
And that would point to what Sal has brought up with the cornerback room of not really getting to the ball, not having any pass breakups, the turnover number, well, the takeaway numbers being down because, well, the last 2 weeks you've lost the turnover battle.
I've got Benford with zero deflections on the season.
Yeah.
I've got Terrell Bernard having one of the interceptions. Cole Bishop's the only other player that has a pick. It is the fact that you're not getting plays on the ball to a point where it is detrimental. And it is also, I've been mentioning him, Taylor Rapp. He's not on this list either. Mm. He doesn't have a play on the ball.
No, really, when you notice Rapp, it is almost never for something positive.
It is to a point now, like, I'll settle for an extra corner, honestly. But what if they trade for a corner at the trade deadline, though, it's also sending me a message that Max Hairston is probably not playing this year. I would imagine they're going to operate under the operation of we're going to get another cornerback, so we don't need to trade for one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm leaning towards safety as my dream target once again.
Yeah, there's no backup coming there. I mean, the backup is Hamlin after he's off of IR, which, and they've already kind of done that song and dance. They probably don't want to.
The problem is
probably
that
is not much improvement there.
The problem is that after week four, I was unironically asking for Hamlin to replace Rapp.
But so on safety, we've already heard multiple Bills players bring up how hard it is to learn that system and how it took time to really learn that system and to get comfortable. Rasul Douglas comes in as a corner, but he's more, you know, chaperoned essentially by the experienced safeties. I don't love it. It's not something I've ever wanted, but maybe this is why they go to a Jordan Poyer. He's experienced, and maybe he can just hold it down. Bishop make the athletic plays. I do imagine a scenario very soon where they pull the plug on Rapp. This is a miss. This is not working. And to be fair, him and Bishop just do not work well together. The combination of those two is not good.
It is becoming like last year where you have effectively two box safeties, but Bishop is becoming the more athletic one that can make a play every now and then versus Rapp, who is last year's DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah.
Where you're not counting on him to make a play.
But that's where I point to the offense of, that's where you go make – trust your all-pro quarterback. Trust your MVP quarterback, too. If he has a new toy, he's going to use him. You know, even if maybe it's not working perfectly with him in the OC, there have also been guys open that Allen is just not hitting fast enough because of the offensive line, what have you. Get more speed in the offense so that maybe you can have just quick hitters. Maybe that involves getting James Cook into the passing game again. He's had one target through the last two games.
And it's not just Cook, though. It's all of them. Ty Johnson has two catches this year.
Well, yeah, we talked about that yesterday where when he's on the field – you're pretty much showing half your hand to the defense, going, "Yeah, we're not gonna run the ball."
But also, it's an effectiveness thing. Johnson's struggling. He has two catches on seven targets.
He's not used in the offense at all.
He's not being used in the offense at all. But now, when he's being targeted, though, it's not getting home.
Mm-hmm.
Or it is a drop, or it's just a blown up play right now. You can't imagine that Ty Johnson, with the season that he had with the passing game last year, through six games has two receptions for 19 yards. And that James Cook, who has been very efficient, actually, 12 catches on 14 targets. Why are you not involving him more?
Yeah.
Because then you are threatening with, okay, maybe we are running the football here.
You're not giving away the game. To the whole advantage for the offense is the defense does not know what you're going to do.
And that's why I'm having less faith of what you mentioned here, of if they get Josh Allen a new toy, he can use it. My question is, will they?
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to the phones, and we promised at the break we'd go to Rich first, and we will do just that. Rich, how are we doing today?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Look, what last night proved to us, when a 40-plus-year-old quarterback can throw for 300 yards, and then what Drake London did to us in the Atlanta game, what Diggs did to us in the New England game, is that, you know, everybody eats is a crap phrase that was made up by Bean because he's dead set on using possession-type receivers and not drafting speed. Right now, we need receivers with elite speed because – what that does is it stretches out the inter. We talk about the middle space in a cover two.
Right.
Well, guess what happens if you don't have elite speed? The safeties crash down and those windows close. And we don't have that right now. So the fact of the matter is we need to start to either draft or trade for some elite speed and start to, you know, open up the offense. And it just seems like each game that goes by, that window, that internal window in the middle of the field against cover two is getting squeezed more and more. We have nobody that can stretch that window open for Josh Allen, and that's why he's having to squeeze throws in, especially in the middle of the field. So, I mean, I called you guys up yesterday about Bean. I am so sick and tired of him, man. You know, the guy has lived off the fact that he basically drafted, you know, Josh Allen, put all the pressure on him. But until we get an elite receiver with speed and ability to run routes, which is, you know, Shakir, is a good route runner, but we've got nobody to stretch out the middle portion of a cover two zone, and we're going to continue to struggle against it. And you know what? You know, everybody runs the same concept, guys. You're talking about a smash concept against cover two, which hits the hole above the corner and in front of the safety. Everybody runs the same concept. The difference is it's the talent running the routes. It's receivers being able to get open or speed where the defense is intimidated and the safeties have to drop back.
Yeah, Rich, I think you're right on all that.
Rich, thank you.
That's why I bring up Rasheed Shaheed. It maybe doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have all of a sudden 9, 10 targets. It's not who he is, but it'll be enough to spread the defense out. I think that's maybe Xavier Worthy's best attribute to Kansas City. When he's on the field, you have to account for the fact that he is statistically the fastest guy in the NFL. You have to account for that. And that may also mean that they throw a deep ball that goes incomplete, but they threw it, and he was open. And now the safeties have to drop back.
The fact that you throw it means they have to worry about it.
And the Bills do not have that. Look, the Josh Palmer catch is great, and it looks awesome. But to Rich's point, they don't have anyone else that's beating the defense. They don't have anyone that's a speed option that is going to stretch a defense. Palmer was brought in to be that separation artist. That was the whole thing, is that maybe LA was underusing him. Look at his separation statistics. They look awesome. I have discovered, or at least I think many of us have discovered throughout the start of the season, is that those are super subjective. And for one, you know, advanced analytics department, they'll be like, hey, this guy separates like crazy. Like, this is awesome. The other one will be like, he's never separated a day in his life. He's still living with his parents. He's never separated from anybody. So there's a tough point there. And I think you can just look to speed, and that is an easy way to look at it. And that's something the Bills offense has desperately needed literally for years. That was why many people were clamoring for Worthy at the time, kind of looking past the fact that he was, what, 170, 165.
Right.
I you know, I mentioned, don't compare him to Tyreek Hill. He's 20 pounds lighter than him in Hale's rookie year.
Right.
But it was more the idea of, but look what he can offer you. And that's the same with Shaheed. You see some of these broken plays from defenses, and New Orleans, who is not good at deep balls. They're not. I mean, we talked with the reporter from New Orleans.
Right,
the whole thing is that, hey, the offense actually isn't terrible. They just can't hit anything 15 plus yards down the field. You hope Allen, not even necessarily it's the 60-yard go balls. It's not that necessarily those. You've mentioned it. It's the middle of the field stuff. It's the quick passes you can get out. I'm not saying Allen's been infallible either. There have been moments as well he's not diagnosing blitzes correctly. He's not getting the ball out to guys that are open. This has been something we've all seen. He is at times looking for the big play, not taking what's in front of him. But the more toys you have in the toy chest, you know, the more options a guy has, the easier it's going to be. I think that's where, you know, everyone eats is not necessarily a crappy saying. I think, though, the Bills' feeling on it is that our quarterback is just going to make magic with some pretty good guys. Where my point is, and to Rich, where he started is, for Cincinnati, are they built perfect? No. But the way their offense is built, it's why a 41-year-old quarterback can go in there and target Ja'Marr Chase 23 times and T. Higgins 10 times and walk away looking pretty.
That's
a lot of that is very much on Pittsburgh's defense. But he's
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
41 years old. He's been with those guys for 2 weeks.
I mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Dallas Cowboys offense. They go ahead and they have CeeDee Lamb. They acquire George Pickens. They, for some reason, get rid of Micah Parsons. And if they didn't do that, I really think that they'd be a better team overall because they were worried about stopping the run. They can't do that either. But at least you can get home to the quarterback if you have Parsons there. But Dallas's offense also has that of, we have players, we're going to keep them getting open, but we're also going to feed these guys because they are talented, they are good. And that is something that you can go ahead and understand the core concept, understand the threat. But a talented player is going to make sure that things happen. I just keep looking, though, at what the track record has been for the Bills receivers under Joe Brady and wonder how much it's holding them back. If Allen is looking for the bigger play, he's not taking these easy things. That has to do with scheme too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a scheme that doesn't mesh with your quarterback.
Now, it is tough to say
Allen
though,
is a renegade.
But it is tough to say that because he did win the MVP last year.
He won the MVP last year. And yet his numbers were not where they usually are. When he won said MVP, he won that MVP based on the narrative of they don't have enough talent around him.
And he's not turning the ball over. With all these, you know, plumbers. I mean, that's essentially what the
argument turned into. And I didn't love that because it's bashing the rest of the roster. But that's what the media narrative went with him on that.
Maybe it's somewhat right, but
it might have been right. But I don't like doing it anyway, at least not for the case of an MVP. Like, look at this guy. He's playing with a bunch of crap, and we should give him something for it. And it's like, that's not the right message. I know what you're trying to do, which is elevate the term valuable and most valuable player. But anyway, that's last year. But my issue still is that the offense, to me, the offensive scheme, and the general manager's ideology are what hold you back from that sort of, I would say not hold back, but it's where it conflicts with a quarterback that wants to be a goblin, that wants to play with his hair on fire sometimes. And I hear the head coach make public comments that they do need some speed.
He mentioned, I know Sneaky Joe brought this tweet
I don't
up
want
from
to
a
turn,
few years ago, but why they added Emmanuel Sanders, quote, don't want to lose your fastball.
And that's where I think if you're blaming the head coach, I think you're wrong-ish. I don't want to go fully into that, but like wrong-ish.
By the way, did Bean actually coin the term everyone eats? I thought that was Brady.
I thought that was Brady too.
I wasn't sure. Rich
Brady's
said
got
that,
a
and
hat
I'm like, was I wrong?
Brady's wearing clothing with it.
Yeah,
like,
but,
I don't think
but
that's...
I mean, but like last year, was it Brady or Bean that coined everyone eats?
I'm pretty sure it was Brady.
I thought it was.
I feel like it was.
Again, Rich said it, and I'm like,
but
it wasn't? I don't know.
But it also might have been an indirect rallying cry about Diggs leaving.
Oh, I mean, it absolutely was part of that. Absolutely was part of that.
And so I guess we'll need to look into the origination of it just to be sure. But I really believe it was Brady. But also, if it's the offensive coordinator that comes up with it after Diggs leaves, which is a boundary receiver, which they don't utilize... Do you see the hamster wheel I'm running on Zachary?
It's kind of crazy, though, looking at his career at LSU. I mean, he might fit the Big Ten. He might actually want to go to Penn State. But,
oh, my God.
It is kind of crazy, though, looking at what Brady was a part of. Where he makes his name is that 2019 LSU team that I would still argue is the most offensively talented team of all time. They go undefeated. They run everybody out of the building. Burrow to Chase to Jefferson. They're incredible. But that's them throwing the ball over the yard. I mean, that is maybe the perfect encapsulation of everybody eats. He's got a ton of talent, and they're just throwing the ball everywhere, and everyone's getting a piece of it. Randy Moss's son at tight end is catching touchdown passes in big-time games. Like, it didn't matter. Burrow throws for 60 touchdowns, but it seems like with the Bills, because you even look at Carolina, like they're throwing the ball over the yard to the point where Matt Rule's like, we need to run the ball more. You're fired. But with the Bills, it's been very different. Where now, yeah, he does seem to have like a because you remember when they go get Curtis Samuel, the whole thing was he had his best year when Brady was the OC. It seems to just be with the Bills right now, they don't want to do that. They want to be different. Maybe this is quote unquote an evolution for Brady. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Maybe this I have stood on this for a while here. I think the everyone eats comes from the lack of talent, but they don't want to bash their own team, right? I mean, it's fair, but it's, hey, we don't have a number one anymore. We have a bunch of guys, but we have an MVP quarterback, and so everyone's going to get the ball. Anyone that's worth it is going to get the ball. But the problem is, not that long ago, they had something similar in John Brown and Cole Beasley and a bunch of guys. Duke Williams gets 10 targets in a playoff game, and they have to very quickly change their idea on it. Problem is where they're at now, Allen is paid heavily. And that's just the fact of the matter. The quarterback is going to get paid a ton because it's the most important position in sports. And this is where the draft has been so important and why it just boggles the mind. You know, going back to Ryan's call, I don't want to bash on the Jefferson Diggs thing because at the time it worked perfect for them to get Diggs. But yeah, you look at a guy like Keon Coleman, he doesn't fit your offense. He doesn't fit your quarterback. You did the long 50-50 jump ball guys for Allen before. It's not what he worked with. He worked with speed guys who got separation fast, and he could just kind of throw the ball over the yard. That's what worked. Coleman has not fit that. He never fit that coming out of Florida State. Now, I'm not going to bang the drum and say, I was always for Ladd McConkey. I wasn't. I was somebody that looked at him and thought, I think in the NFL he's going to be a slot guy. And ultimately, that has been proven to be false. He is kind of an everything guy. A little bit smaller, but an everything right. guy. I've openly acknowledged constantly, I'm an Adonai Mitchell guy. Now, he hasn't necessarily shown anything in the NFL, but I also think there could still be something there.
He shows flashes, but then, you know, he fumbles the ball out of the end zone and gets a holding call in the same game, and it's like, we got to bench him,
He also just drops, like, the easiest catches.
But, like, you turn into a game like the Rams game, though, and, like, the coaching staff's got to go, we got to bench him, right? Like, there's no choice.
He might be in this week, though, just because of all the injuries they have at receiver, namely Josh Downs as well. But
it's your redemption arc. Here you go.
I still look at some of this stuff and just think it's a talent issue that they're trying to overcome, and it's going to be a longer process because, yeah, like they're no longer at the phase they were when they traded for Diggs, when Allen was, well, ultimately very cheap. It's why the draft is so important. I hate saying it like this, but it's true. It's the cheap labor, and now with the way college football is transitioning to the NFL, you're not waiting 2-3 years for a guy to be very good. Look at the quarterback position maybe more than any of them. Guys staying in college longer – and then they come to the NFL, and they're somewhat ready-made. Jackson Dart looks like a good quarterback. Bo Nix with the most starts in NCAA history. Kind of a finished product for Sean Payton.
Denver didn't blink twice.
Nope. That's kind of how it is, and it's the same with receivers. The talented receivers are coming in, hitting right away, and by year two are on fire. Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now we're at a point with Ohio State receivers. Just pick one.
But like you mentioned the quarterbacks thing. Penix, longtime starter with Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely are you seeing now like the players that are like your redshirt sophomores that are going into the league after maybe one full year of starting. That trend is going that way because you want your quarterbacks to be ready-made. You don't have time to wait anymore. You don't have the chance to see if the high athletic upside of an Anthony Richardson is going to be able to figure it out. The Colts, as a matter of fact, before the end of his rookie contract, moved on to Daniel Jones, and it's working. And it also, Daniel Jones is also giving you a little microcosm on time on task with the right situation might fix you, much how like Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield or even Geno Smith before he went back down in the tank.
But Daniel Jones is maybe the newest
generation. Daniel Jones
is
becoming the newest iteration of that. And maybe there is something to it. Time on task. You need to have guys that are ready to go immediately. You cannot make this slower transition nowadays because teams are not willing to wait anymore.
No. 803-0550, the number to call. Matt, Johnny, James, we'll get to your guys' calls when we come back. Listening to Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, filling in for One Bills Live. This is WGR.
Sitting at 4-2 going into a bye week. You know, at any point you can have a winning season. Almost halfway through the year. I know we're not quite halfway, but I think you'll take those odds.
Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen before heading off to the bye. You know, it should be said the Bills are 4-2, and they do throughout their history. I mean, where we're at so many years in a row where they've lost two in a row. They are still 4-2.
And
they
it's
are
typically still, here.
Yeah, no.
This
yeah.
part of the season where they lose a couple games in a row.
Wow, it really is like clockwork. Oh, God. So on that, that's kind of where I've stopped caring about it. Like, yeah, they lost two in a row. Like, and even after their first loss to New England, it was almost freeing to be able to talk about some of the issues the team had and not be, called, a doomer or whatever and wanting the team to fail. Like, no. But this team has done very similar things throughout the last 5-6 years. They lose two in a row in like October, November, and then they go on an absolute heater to secure like the second or three seed because they've never been the first seed. And then they're out in the division round. There have been outliers. They made the AFC Championship game last year and they made it in 2020. But for the most part, it's kind of the same story over and over and over again. They will absolutely fix their stuff to a certain extent to go on a run. I will be absolutely stunned if it doesn't happen. And to be fair, if it doesn't happen, cool, I'm calling for jobs. We've done this a little bit too long.
Right.
But history will tell you, will show you, this team with Josh Allen, a quarterback, they're going to go on a heater to end the year. And they're going to win some games that you're like, I mean, man, how are they not Super Bowl favorites? You look at the lines, it hasn't really changed all that much. I mean, only recently, and it may have changed after last night's result, but only recently did Pittsburgh finally overtake Baltimore's favorites in the AFC North. Again, it may have changed after last night. I don't know. But the Bills are still one of the Super Bowl favorites. Makes sense. Of course, you just want to keep getting to the dance. But that's where my problem has been with the team is that it seems like the same things are reoccurring. We mentioned it for the trade deadline stuff. They're arguably looking for two of the same positions they've traded for in the last 2 years in wide receiver and corner. I agree with you, though. Safety is above corner in that pegging order. But
they're less available.
And also maybe, yeah, it's going to be much harder to find. You see Cam Taylor-Britt for Cincinnati is a healthy and active yesterday, and you get wide-eyed because like, no, wait a second.
There might be a trade happening.
Wait a second.
Trades.
You know, that's corner. You can make that work. Wide receiver, you can make that work, especially when you have an elite quarterback.
They're not trading anyone. Joe Flacco saved their season.
Joe Flacco did maybe save their season.
He actually, like, unironically might have saved their season.
May have done that. But that's where I get very I guess maybe you want to say just down in the dumps about the team is I think they're going to make the playoffs. But I'm well past, we hear some of the calls, and I think we all know somebody in our lives that mentions, be careful what you wish for. Remember the drought? Man, I'm well past that. There is a growing generation of Bills fans that only really know some success. They don't really remember the early years of the drought or the 2011 win over New England is like the high point of their Bills lives.
Yeah.
There's a generation of Bills fans growing that's not a thing. They only know the recent success. And We're well past the drought. We're at a point now where we're talking about Josh Allen's age and just how long McDermott's been here and now a new stadium's coming up.
And a consistently average drafting record by Brandon Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's no longer just a year of like
– It's no longer
– bad years happen because that's absolutely right. Howie Roseman is considered almost unanimous.
I mentioned the Jalen Reagor pick.
Yeah, as the best GM in football. But yeah, he's had huge misses.
He picked Reagor over Jefferson.
And I think in back-to-back drafts, I think his first round was Jalen Reagor wide receiver and then Andre Dillard on the offensive line. Both were terrible picks.
The man had Nelson Agholor as a first-round pick. Like, yeah, there are misses. But can you make up for it and draft stars in other rounds? And the Bills...
It's been a few years now.
It's the lack of stars that is hurting them now. And it's not about, these guys are good players. It is the lack of star power.
And when you bring up lack of star power, I saw Eric Turner bring this up, and I listen to Colin Cowherd a lot, and he brings this up too, because it's true in like every sport. These quote-unquote high-leverage situations. In baseball, it's high-leverage at-bats.
Right.
That's when you point to that star player. It's why Moneyball in baseball specifically didn't work as a 100% concept. You needed the guys with the human aspect and everything like that just in a big moment made a big play. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the Toronto Blue Jays has been this, that in moments when you need him most, hitting a home run, hitting a clutch single to drive in a run, Grand Slam, what have you. He's done pretty much all of it in these postseasons. Allen is that for the Bills, that when you need a big moment, he's got it for you. It's why I get frustrated when people are saying that they're leaning on their star players. You should. You absolutely should lean on your star.
You need to.
Yeah, you should absolutely lean into your star players. That's why they're there.
James Cook with the touchdown run to take a lead that they would never, unfortunately, be able to keep. But that is a play that has to be made. And James Cook delivers it for you through hell or high water, Space Jam, stretching it over the goal line.
But past those two, who do the Bills have? Terrell Bernard has an eye for the ball, but he's not necessarily really kind of past that stuff in the fourth quarter. He's very much a negative, it feels like, for the Bills oftentimes. On the defensive line, maybe they've got it in Ed Oliver and Deion Walker. I don't want to say that that's not true. They may have that. But, for your corners, once Trey got hurt, they've really not been able to recover from that. Matt Milano, same thing, outside linebacker. Once he got his injuries, never really were able to recover from that. I don't want to say Bean has been terrible from the start. That's not true.
That's why I use the word average.
Right, and I think that's right. He's been average because he has had some hits, especially in the late rounds. But now it's a lot of not bloated contracts, but maybe contracts that shouldn't have been given. You look at all the extensions we have given out over this offseason. One of them is hitting in James Cook. Shakir is maybe a kind of incomplete, not really sure. He did pick up an injury. The passing offense as a whole hasn't been great, and he's a slot receiver. So there's, some wiggle room there. But Rousseau, Benford, Bernard.
Nothing out of them.
Nothing.
Right now.
Rousseau, I continue to wait for him to pop, to move past just the underlying statistics and be overall very good. And we're still waiting.
Yeah. And it's to a point where, there are games where he's just on a milk cart.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta was one of them. Terrell Bernard, he picks up an injury in the Atlanta game, but
they maybe got better.
But also, Bernard's probably, of the three, your best one. Benford has zero pass breakups this year. And it's not out of a lack of targets.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, what we talk, his passer rating went.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
From he was allowing 88% to now 111.
And while passer rating or has a flawed metric to it, anytime there's a notable increase, though, there's a problem.
Yeah, it tells the story itself. But I think that's where I get worried even with the trade deadline stuff. Is it really just putting a Band-Aid on a bigger issue? Which is, their drafting has not been good enough. It's why we're looking at Keon Coleman as a second-round pick, begging for him to get moved around, Eric Wood, just to see what we got there. James Cook, they do pay him for 4 years, $48 million. People want to see him in the offense more. Why? He's your second best player on the offense.
Right.
Kincaid, use him more. He might be really good. And I think this is maybe where where everybody eats really is a detriment, is the idea of not leaning on your stars when they should.
And ready? Even last year, you asked the question of who else can you even lean on? Kincaid has an opportunity at that big moment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen.
It does not happen. Yeah.
It does not happen. And it's almost an incredible moment. Allen puts a prayer ball up on a moment where at the line of scrimmage, you got outcoached. And Allen does everything that he humanly can. Because that play is supposed to go to Shakir on that motion in and then back out to the offensive left.
Mm-hmm.
He's wide open for your gain that you need to get. But that blitz happens. And they had correctly diagnosed the protection at the line. But Spagnuolo puts that extra concept in there. And it hurts. But Allen does enough to offer an opportunity. And it's a relatively clean opportunity because there's no KC defender that's going to get his hands on this football. Somehow. Ultimately, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a throwaway. It's not even what I would call a prayer ball. In the situation that he throws it away
it even looks like it. But
when he lets it go, it is a prayer. But it's not at risk of being picked. It's not even at risk of being knocked down. It's tough to track it down, but it's tracked down. And you just had the other half of that play, unfortunately, not connect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the tough part. That's the other part of it that I'm very optimistic about what Kincaid's been doing this season, because it does seem like maybe he has taken that next step, quote unquote, so to say, in becoming the big play element. Because what has he been doing every week? Save for a Jets game that they didn't need him. The answer is catching a 20-plus yard ball.
Yeah, even in the game against New Orleans, he only has two targets, but the one catches for 28 yards and a touchdown.
And that's literally called a category known as big plays.
Mm-hmm.
So am I seeing Dalton Kincaid becoming a big player who makes big plays? Maybe. It's the statistic. It's right there.
Yeah, I'd just like to see it more.
I'd like to see it more. And again, I see the graphic, though, of him being on the field 45% of the time.
The New England game, he's only on it 54.4%. His other big game, Miami, 55%. Real quick, before we take our next time out, Bills, they'll be back in action next week, getting ready for Carolina.
Yep.
Going to have to take on another big running back. Enrico Dowdle has been amazing. Bryce Young, and we had a caller recently, Ryan, bring up how good Carolina's been. Namely, Bryce Young at home has been very good.
They took the Falcons to task 30-0. While transitive property doesn't work in the NFL,
that is a thing. I mean, that did happen.
That did happen. It doesn't mean that Carolina is going to be guaranteed a win. It's something to look out for. They've been playing well.
Yeah, but I do want to bring up something here before we leave, because we were talking a little bit about it before the show started.
Yes.
A little college football talk here, because I got to bow out to get ready for Shelton Bulldog, so Derek will have you for the last segment.
You won't be far here, though.
But I want to talk a little bit in college football, because there was a big contract extension yesterday. Kirk Cignitti at Indiana gets 8 years, $11.6 million.
I'll behave.
And the reason really why I want to bring it up, too, is I've seen a lot of people almost – seemingly worried at Cignitti getting that extension, that Indiana maybe rushed it. And, well, let's see how the year plays out. And I heard Paul Feinbaum talking about that today on ESPN. And Feinbaum, to many, is the voice of college football. For me, and this is someone that's not an Indiana fan and more just kind of enjoying the ride and everything like that, why wait? Why wait? If you're not watching college football and you hear Indiana football and you go, what are we talking about? This is a program that had won 8-9 games in a 3-year run?
I was also being hyperbolic when we were originally talking about this off air, saying that Kirk Cignitti has already done more in 1.5 seasons than the entirety of Indiana football in 2 decades. Apparently, I was not far off on that.
Yeah, it's closer to 3, I think, right?
Yeah. So the last time, now I don't know if you remember it or not. Do you remember the last time that Indiana won more than 8 games in a season?
It's not 2020.
No.
That's like the quote-unquote last time they're good, but it's a COVID-shortened season. They take advantage of a bad schedule. When is it?
It's 1967.
Yeah, it's before I was born.
It's before a lot of us were born.
A few years. I'm coming around the block, but it's a few years before I'm born. But I know they haven't won a bowl game since the 90s.
If you've watched that season, you're not even a 41-year-old who had a great day yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's... But, like, that's where they are. Their last bowl win is 1991.
Yeah. So for me, ultimately, in now 1.5 seasons, he's 17-2 on the job. He just beat Oregon in Autzen. And for me, I just – why wait?
They only have one.
With the Penn State job opening and him being the Eastern Pennsylvania guy from Pittsburgh, you know, Penn State might be a dream job for him. Why wait to maybe, you know, honestly, play with fire? And then if I'm Signitti too and people may be wondering why I stayed Indiana, we'll point this out. They have one of the largest living alumni bases at, like, I think over 900,000. They actually do have quite a bit in the NIL fund. And if you're Signitti, who, by the way, is not a young guy, he's 64. This contract will take until he's 72. This is probably the last big contract he has. It is top three in the sport. He's only behind Kirby Smart and Ryan Day. He does this stuff like we mentioned. I mean, they haven't won a bowl game since the 90s. They haven't won more than 8 games in a season outside of last year since the 60s. They haven't won a Big Ten title since 67. Legacy. You're thinking about legacy when you're around, I would imagine, Signetti's age. He does this 2-3 more years. Stuff like this. He's getting a statue. He's getting the stadium named after him.
Recreate a new stigma for Indiana football.
Yeah. And I think that might matter more than just being a guy that comes in and tries to do what James Franklin couldn't at Penn State, where instead he might build something long-lasting at Indiana. I think it's a great move by the Hoosiers, and it makes them super relevant in a Big Ten that is sort of in flux with everything going on. Michigan passed Harbaugh, Michigan State, garbage. Penn State now, unknown what they're going to do there. And you just beat Oregon, who did win the Big Ten title last year. Indiana might actually be coming a power.
All right, now that you made me throw up in my mouth, I have to be snotty before we leave this segment.
Purdue is ranked number one in basketball.
Exactly.
Before it starts.
Exactly. That's what matters more anyway.
803-0550, the number to call. Show up with the Bulldog coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we've been filling in for One Bills Live. Derek, we'll have you the rest of the way when we come back. This is WGR.
Welcome back. Last segment here of Kramer and Jones. We've had fun hanging out with you. Hope you've had fun hanging out with us over these past couple days in place of One Bills Live. Thanks to everyone that's been calling in. You guys have been awesome. Everything's cool. We're all hanging out. And it gets me to another question, though, that is entirely different from the show topics that we've talked about today, and that's the bye week. The bye week is a fun thing in a different sense because you get it to unwind a little bit. Yes, we're going to have 2 weeks of constant discourse going on here, including on a football Friday. But you also don't have to worry about watching the Bills on Sunday. It could be a potentially very relaxing thing. That's all I get to say on that one. Sabres in action tomorrow as well. That's one way you can deal with the Bills bye week, by the way. The Sabres coming off of an eight goal extravaganza. So no better time for the Sabres to look cool than during the Bills bye week, I would say. So they play tomorrow afternoon, by the way. So if you're heading down to KeyBank Center, make sure you're enjoying a matinee day on a Saturday. Cool. It's not a matinee. It's just a Saturday afternoon game. Matinee days are for the week. Come on, Derek. But Sabres are cool, at least right now. Can they keep it up? And that's something Zach and I have talked about a lot off of the air is, can you keep this up? Because if you lose and don't look competitive against a Florida team that is also now dealing with injuries, you're kind of back to square one, unfortunately. And that's something you don't want to see. I definitely don't want to see that because I want the Sabres to be different this year. I don't know if that necessarily means that you have to be good, but I do need you to be different. I need you not to do the same old thing. Also looking at you on that one, Bills. Stop doing the same thing. Stop losing in week five or losing two games in a row in October. It's not cool. I don't think any of us appreciate it. But it's going to be fun to see. I'll be back on tomorrow in the morning at 11 o'clock for a quick little sports talk Saturday before we pass things on to Sabres pregame with Brian Koziel. So hope to hear from you all again. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for calling in. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. Pass the torch right on to the guys. Show up and Bulldog coming up next here on a Football Friday here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.